Hey, everybody. Yes. Yes. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, one of the best AdWords managers on the planet and a former fitness model.
Thank you. Thank
Chris
you.
Schaefer.
I thought there was someone else with us because I didn't fit that bill. But thank you, Jason. That's, as always, awkwardly flattering from another male. But hi, guys. Welcome to episode 92 of the Paid Search Podcast. Jason, creeping up on 100. I know we have something really big planned for episode 100. Just waiting for you to come up with that. And it'll be fun. It'll be really exciting when that hits. So everybody gets a free puppy is what I'm hearing. But we'll find out, I guess.
Have you ever done any modeling?
Today, we're talking about...
All right, if you don't want to go into it, we don't have to go into it. Just people are saying, you know, I'm hearing things.
No, they're not.
Okay, so guys, yeah, today we're trying... Chris, we're trying something a little bit new. We have all these great industries that are big industries on AdWords, and we thought it'd be beneficial if we go deep into them and kind of do what we did with the Sweetums Dental build and really go deep on an industry, talk specifically about that industry. Today, we're going to do AdWords tips for car dealerships. We both have car dealership clients, a lot of experience there. And there's a lot of listeners who are involved in that space, and people could find the show and benefit from this episode. If you're not a car dealership advertiser, I still think a lot of these tips can spark ideas for your industry, and then we'll get to your industry as well. So give us some feedback, guys, on the YouTube comments, on iTunes, on the contact page on the website, and let us know if you like these deep dives on specific industries.
Yeah, we're going to dig in, get deep. Jason, I'm excited to share a few things. First, I have some thoughts, I'm going to hit just a couple things in my head that often comprise a dealership campaign. Number one, they're usually high spend because there's a lot of models, a lot of years, a lot of different ways that people can search. So I often find that these campaigns are very difficult to keep going with a moderate kind of spend. Second, I find that they're typically very large builds. These are not the kind of things that are like 5-10 ad groups. If you're going with a higher spend, you're really going to need to break out. So there's going to be a lot of different ad groups. And then third, this is not online sales. This is lead generation. So there's going to be a wide, and I think you have one of these tips specifically, but it's going to be a wide ranging area of people that can come in and click on the ads, you know, over several weeks with a variety of different terms. So the ways that you reach them with remarketing and search and YouTube and all this diversity of these different campaigns can make a big difference. So, you know, that's what I kind of find for a lot of these different campaigns is they all tend to comprise of those factors because it's the car industry. We're talking about used cars, new cars, and sometimes car service. So that really plays into the way that these are built.
Yeah. And some of these tips speak to all those points, Chris, because it is such a complex industry. And one of the tips, we'll get to it. But like I know from the start, I went too big with my build for a car dealership. There's just so much you can do. And if you only have so much budget, you got to keep it limited. But we'll get to that tip. But before we get to search, Chris, let's talk about YouTube, because car dealerships are one of the largest TV advertising industries, especially for like local TV. I see them all the time. It must work because it builds a brand. I know all the car dealerships in my city by name just from seeing their TV ads all the time. And my point here is that if you're going to spend all the money to get those commercials done and you do TV, I think you should replicate what you do on TV on YouTube.
Absolutely.
I mean, don't you think? Because you can get a massive budget. You can get in front of the same people. You can get hyper local, maybe more local than TV. And the cost, it's got to be cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you can get views for just pennies. You know, the real stopper for a YouTube pre-roll or YouTube in-stream video is the YouTube video. It's a quality message displayed in 20 seconds or 6 seconds. A six-second video, I mean, something like that as a pre-roll is difficult to come across and costs money to have a good quality one to run. So absolutely, completely agree. YouTube is a small investment compared to the investment you have to get behind to make a commercial.
And the nice thing about YouTube that you can kind of do with TV, but not really, I guess you can target different kinds of shows and then call those demographic targeting. But with YouTube, you can actually really narrow down to different genders and different age groups, depending on what kind of people buy your cars, whatever brand you have. And then they do have an in-market audience, I believe, Chris, for in-market for new car or car purchases. They have some in-market audience with those. Those can help. And of course, remarketing, people who've been to your website within the recent time period. So YouTube is basically the same thing you can do on TV, but just cheaper. And you can have a lot more targeting options as well, including what I love, hyper-local, Chris. You can target people within like a five-mile radius of your dealership. And I'm not in the TV business because I'm not 97 years old, but I don't think you can target people just in a five-mile radius in town. I think it's a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
By the way, I would love to be in the TV business.
I don't want to be not an
easy ad management. Press play and then sit back and cash it in.
We just lost four subscribers there, but nice.
They don't, they're so okay. Old, they don't know how to click the unsubscribe. So we lose them. They're going to listen to us each week. I think my phone got hacked. The paid search podcast guys are on it again, making fun of my industry.
Yeah. Well,
next step here, Chris.
Next, we're going to jump into search. Jason, you have some really good suggestions on how we can avoid those unwanted searches in search, because there are millions of searches. How do we keep from what we don't want showing up?
Right. So when I was in college, Chris, the first semester, I started having like those five or six courses, the classes, and you get to that point where it's like you're like 3 weeks in and okay, no more syllabus talk, no more introduction talk. Like you have assignments, six different classes, not a lot of time. It's like overwhelming for the first time. Same thing when you look at the search terms report for a car dealership for the time.
Absolutely.
Like it is unbelievable what kind of stuff comes in, and it's stuff you would have never even thought of when you're building out the campaign. But one thing that you and I have seen a ton of are year searches for different make and models. So if you're a Ford dealership and you sell the new Ford Mustangs and you have a keyword like phrase match Ford Mustangs for sale, you're going to get a ton of searches for maybe people looking for old Ford Mustangs for sale, 67 Ford Mustang for sale, pictures of the 72 Ford Mustang. And then you're going to get even more recent ones like 99 Mustang for sale, 2011 Mustang for sale. Now, 2011, Chris, it sounds kind of recent, but that's going back 7-8 years. So I don't think most car dealerships are selling cars that are like 8, 9, 10 years old. So what we like to do is add the years as negative keywords going from basically 1901 and the word 01 all the way up to like 2011 and the number like 11. Or if the dealership tells us, hey, we don't sell cars before 2014, we'll add like 13, 14 as negative keywords just to block all those searches. And when I told you about this tip, you were like, I do that too. And your eyes lit up.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just looking at my negative keyword list. I actually started like 1939. I went back a certain number of
years. That's a good
point.
Well, I'm sure cars didn't maybe exist in like 1900 or something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not too worried about the 01s, 02s because.
Well, now you've got the 2000s, you know.
That's true. So you're exactly right. And there are, I'll tell you, this is going to be, depend on how you do your AdWords build. This is going to be a big task for you. Really think this out because there's a lot of things like reviews and rentals and rent and pictures and videos and parts and OEM and news and manuals and motorhome and library. I mean, I just randomly went through a few in my list there. So that's going to be a big task and it's gonna make a big difference in how many unwanted clicks that you get because you do not want those parts in the supply searches and the pictures and the guys who are going to goo gaga over the new 2019, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You don't want
the bucket seats.
Yeah. They don't want to, you know, the pictures of the sexy women in the cars. You don't want those clicks. So good tip there. So Jason, we already hinted at this once before, but selling a car is not a one click, one sale.
Right. Exactly. Now, both of us have like clients like orthodontist, a divorce lawyer. If I do a divorce lawyer search and I see a good ad and I go to a good website, and I call in, there's a very good chance I'll schedule a meeting and come in and engage that lawyer. Or if I need an orthodontist and I'm a busy parent and I find a good looking site from Google, I call it, they answer, they're friendly, they have good reviews, I'll schedule on the spot. But no one's going to call in and say, oh yeah, you have that Ford Mustang, the 2018, where can I wire the money? It doesn't work like that. You got to go in, you got to shake hands with the salesman. He's got to ask you where you're from, who your NBA team is. Thunder having a great year. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. You like them too? Oh, I'll pay $5,000 over price. you know how it works, Chris. So our point is here, you got to have a serious lead generation process in place, a CRM. And Chris, you are renowned for doing absolutely nothing beyond Google AdWords.
That's true. Thank you, Jason. You're the guy who stubbornly won't touch anything else but AdWords. You're right.
Yeah. So you've never heard the word CRM before, lead generation process. So what do you do as the AdWords manager when you get a car dealership client? Do most of them have something in place? How do you handle that hurdle?
Most of the time for a dealer that has an AdWords campaign going, it's not going to be just an AdWords campaign. There's usually more things attached to it. And Jason, you're exactly right. I wouldn't take a dealer straight on. Usually it comes through an agency who needs help with AdWords, and they're already covering the website and the lead generation forms and all those other kind of things, the marketing gambit of things that need to be covered. So you're exactly right. AdWords does not stand alone in this area, because you can't just show pictures of cars and hope people call you. There needs to be a much more upfront lead generation system.
Yeah, you've got to capture, they're interested in that 2018 Ford F-150. They've got to fill out the form, and then your guys have to be on it. So definitely link in your AdWords account to whatever CRM or lead capture thing you've got going on. The next one here, Chris, call only ads. I like them because car dealerships sell. And so what I like doing is mixing in call only ads to your regular campaigns, trying to get some phone calls going, maybe have a call only campaign that runs during business hours or something like that. Try it out. And what I love about it is you can get people who want to call in because they're clicking on that call only ad. You can connect them with the floor salesman, and then they can start that relationship, and that floor salesman can get their info and follow up and get the ball rolling, as opposed to someone just looking at a picture, maybe filling out the lead form, maybe not.
I don't really have anything to add to this because I just don't know how I feel about it. I mean, most of the time you and I agree. I don't use call only ads just because I just can't imagine a lot of people just calling and wanting to talk to a salesman, because your mobile phone or your laptop or your tablet are going to be so much easier to just look at the pictures and then decide if you want to even contact them or not. So I don't really know. It's not something that I pursue myself at all.
You know, Chris, it's one of those things where another AdWords manager we talked to had mentioned to me, like, yeah, what's your deal with call only? Like, don't you just like the call extension? And then if they want to call, they can call. And if they don't, they can click on the regular ad. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. But I've just seen some magical things happen with call only sometimes. And I just like the trackability of it. So
yeah, it is.
It's worth you trying.
You spend money when they make that call. So yeah, I can agree. But yeah, I'm going to leave you alone on that one. I don't really have anything to add, but I will jump down to this next one. This one falls under number three that we talked about with the multiple lead generation techniques. Number five is going to be when someone lands on your website, it should not be your homepage. I mean, that's an absolute rule. It should not be your homepage. It should be something dedicated to what they were looking for. If they were looking for a Ford truck, you should send them to the Ford truck page. If they're looking for something specific, you send them to that category. Now, we're not talking about if they're looking for a 2017 Toyota, you don't send them to an exact model of a Toyota, because that model may get taken off the site, or it could change or something like that. Jason, I'm talking about a list of availability within the highest category that fits what they're looking for. So if they're looking for a truck, send them to pages that show them trucks, not a specific year and model, because that's just asking for a dead link.
That's true. It depends on the advertiser, because some of them, those links don't become dead, like if that's their number one seller, you know. But if there was any kind of campaign, and I don't like these things, but if there was anyone that ever called for keyword level ad URLs, I think the car dealership is the one, because you might have Chevy trucks as an ad group, and then maybe one keyword in there, Chevy Silverado. And then if you never run out of that, and there's always going to be that page stocked up, you can have a keyword URL, and that can keep things manageable without having to create different campaigns or ad groups for every single make and model. But generally, it's not so much about getting it, like you said, Chris, exact on. It's just getting it in the ballpark and showing people that they clicked on the right ad, as opposed to getting it wrong. You just can't get it wrong. So if someone's searching for like Mazda cars and you take them to the homepage, or if they search for a specific Mazda car model, model and then you take them to the Mazda Trucks page, that's not going to work out well.
I'm just going to leave this here. One of the best ways to get a really high bounce rate, which is a bad thing, that means people are leaving your site immediately after clicking your ad, is to send them to a page with one option. I highly discourage advertisers from now on that I speak to, because I've had so many bad experiences. If they're selling one product and they want to hire me to say, you know, Chris, we want to sell this widget that does this one specific thing. We have one price point, one option. They click on it and they can buy. And usually the case is they click on it and they leave because people are expecting an Amazon experience. They're expecting options. They're expecting choices. My goodness, if I want sugary cereal, how many choices do I have when I go to the grocery store? That's what people are expecting when they click on online ads. So my philosophy is to deliver options to these people, not just here's the one car that we have.
I like that.
That's what I found with online retailers, that sell one thing and one thing only. It usually ends up in a flop. So keep that in mind when you're choosing your landing pages.
I like that. Now, speaking of selling a lot of different things, Chris, my next tip is to prioritize. We mentioned at the top of the show that the automotive space, and then even for an individual dealer, like a Subaru dealer, there's so many things you can show up on. Chris, you mentioned parts and service and all that kind of stuff. Some of my clients, like a Subaru dealer, they do that and they do advertise on it.
You said do.
I can say it again. I can show you.
if we don't go into the explicit level. All right, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, so there's so many things you can advertise on when you're a car dealership. All the different makes and models, all the different things you do, financing, service and parts, used cars, new cars, your brand name. And Chris, there's just so much you can advertise on. I have yet to run into a car dealership client where we didn't run out of budget. Like, they had a limited budget and we were having to choose what searches we wanted to prioritize. So the tip is to prioritize, and to prioritize based on what are your most profitable vehicles that you want to sell and make the most money on. And then also, what do you have to clear off the lot? Like, for example, with the Subaru client, they had a ton of Subaru Foresters last year that they had to clear off the lot. And Subaru Forester was just one of our many campaigns. And they would do searches in their computer, like Subaru Forester in this city, and they wouldn't see their ad. And they were like, why aren't we seeing our ads? And I'm like, well, because we're limited by budget, because we're spending on so many different things. So if we want to, let's close off 70% of the campaigns and just target the Forester campaigns while we're trying to clear those off the lot. So you got to prioritize.
Yeah. And to get really practical on this, this is what it looks like. Any listener knows that I'm a big fan of simplicity. You know, if I can put it in one campaign and it works that way, I want to put it in one campaign.
If you can wear the same t-shirt 100 weeks in a row, you're going to wear that same t-shirt.
That's true. My wife, she loves that about me. So here's what a car dealership account might look like. And I'm just going to kind of glance at the screen while I'm going through this. I'm going to have campaigns for brand, because brand separated out from everything else is going to be important, because I'm going to know how brand is performing compared to non-brand. Dealership, I might have that separate, because that's not a car or a used search. That's specifically for a dealership, which I consider a different type of lead than someone who's looking for a Mustang or a...
Why don't you break that down? Because I'm curious, because I love the dealership keywords. Like, if it's a Chevy dealership, the word Chevy dealership, because you're giving the person what they're looking for. But how, in your mind, is that different than someone searching for like a truck?
The reason is because I like to have the ability to adjust budget on those things. The whole simplicity thing kind of goes out the window, because we're dealing with so many keywords and so much variety. I can't keep things simple. I need to be able to adjust spin levels for these things.
That's it, Chris. What I was just talking about. You get the calls from the same car dealership clients, yeah, like, hey, we got to move these vehicles. Give me more of that. And if they're in the same campaign and you can't pull the budget levers, that's why they got to be in different campaigns, so you can make those budget decisions.
Yeah, you're going to end up scrambling, building out new campaigns to pull things out, different ad groups and campaigns. So I split off dealerships, I split off new, and I split off used cars. Those are two separate things, absolutely. Negative keywords should designate that alone. And then from there, if you have search or you have remarketing or you have YouTube, those would break out in separate ones. So in all, I'm looking at an account that has 7 campaigns in it.
That's monumental for you, from what I know about you. If you can, you like keeping it to one campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
absolutely,
you can't here. You can't. You just can't.
No, you can't. And it's not because there's a different geographic targeting. It's not because I need to be able to adjust bidding types differently. It's simply because of budget management and prioritizing.
You know, Chris, the car dealership AdWords account, it really is a whole different beast.
It is.
And you've either got to be a really experienced AdWords freelancer, or I think a lot of these companies keep this stuff in-house just because it is so dynamic. Yeah.
Well, one thing, after I worked in-house for a company doing AdWords, my second AdWords job was working for a company that largely specialized in auto sales. So auto dealers,
right,
is what they primarily did. So that's where I learned a lot of these strategies and tactics, was because they had templates built out. They had these big spreadsheets of all the different models and makes, and so they can grab whatever spreadsheet they need, copy paste, and then they've got a campaign. So if you're building this on your own as a freelancer, keep in mind you're going to be competing with people that have done a lot of work. So it needs to be neat, it needs to be clean.
Right. And by the way, everyone listening, it is really fun, Chris, to do like a car searches, like Toyota Camrys, Oklahoma City. And then you'll see the people who are pros and will say Toyota Camrys, South Oklahoma City, blah, 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 all their selling points. And then the next ad will say like Honda dealership. And you can really see who's on their game or not. Now, the next ad, Chris, very controversial topic, something we have not talked a lot about. We've got a few episodes planned on it, I think, but competitor advertising. This is something that I see a lot of in the car dealership space, and I wanted to give a specific strategy that I like. A lot of cities, a lot of metros, like first-tier cities like Oklahoma City, along with Houston, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, the first-tier cities in the country, we have multiple car dealerships in the city that are the same company. So like two Toyota dealerships, two Subarus, and oftentimes they're way on different parts of the metro. And you'll have people who maybe for whatever reason bought a car on the north part of town, but now they live on the south part of town and they're looking for a new car, or they're looking for service for that car. And they may search their old dealership because that's just what's on their mind, because branding is so strong in the car dealership space. Maybe you could target that name to people who are close to you, and then in your ad really highlight that you're the closer dealership to where they're located, located in the south part of town or minutes away in south, if it's Chicago, South Chicago. So, you know, I'm just saying, Chris, these people do such a great job building up brands in the car dealership space that those brand searches are kind of a warfare area where people are advertising on other people's names, trying to say, look, we both sell Chevrolets. We'll beat the other guy on price. Just give us a call. Give us a chance.
Yeah. Now, the flip side of the coin, if other people are doing that, what you're going to need to do is you need to protect your own brand.
Yes.
You're going to, and I mentioned that whenever I was going through the types of campaigns that I have. One of them that I mentioned was brand. This is not something I'm a fan of when it comes to most businesses. I don't see a lot of value in doing brand, especially if someone isn't advertising against you. What's the reason behind showing up for your own name when you rank organically for it? But with car dealers, Jason, you're right. I mean, when it comes down to it, they're going to be biting back and forth, competing for different brand listings. They're going to try and show up on somebody else's name, and they do a search for that dealership. So brand keywords and protecting your brand, I think, is very important. Do you draw a line, Jason, whenever you build one of these campaigns? I mean, are you willing to spend top dollar to be in first, or you just want to show up?
Never a question I've ever had to answer, Chris, because I always get the marching orders to show up number one. People can't stand other brands being above their name on their brand searches. So I've always had the marching orders to show up number one. Yeah. And because of Google's quality score function, Google can figure out that, oh, you are the brand. And usually it doesn't cost an insane amount to get to it.
I find that it's still not super cheap. I
mean, but yeah, at the same time, yeah, not insane, but cheaper than the other guy who's doing it to you.
Yeah.
But because they're bidding it up so high, you got to bid up and pay for those brand searches as well. But if you don't, then every time you run a TV ad, you're basically helping your competitor because you're building up the brand and the other people are just showing up there without you even putting up a fight.
Definitely. I mean, if you know the URL of the website you're going to, Jason, how many URL searches do you see in your search term history for your clients? I mean, people use Google like it's their browser URL line. They just type in the URL of the site they're going to, then click the first thing they see.
Right.
Even if it's the wrong site. So, I mean, yeah, it makes a lot of sense because people use Google as a bookmarking shortcut, basically.
That's it, Chris. So to give people some context, why don't we, you know, what kind of car are you driving these days? A Ferrari, Mercedes 500? You know,
just this morning I was being made fun of because, I mean, this is a real story. This is a true story, guys. I was exercising, you know, my morning exercise.
How are you doing exercise?
I would say CrossFit. And we walk out after we're all done, and the guys are literally standing there talking about their trucks and just like pointing like, oh, that's, is that the new Raptor? Oh yeah. I mean, just like, oh, it's so manly. You know, I mean, they're just like, you know, it's just like this motor and these tires and, you know, this has a new thingamabobby and there's a unicorn winch or something, you know? So it's stuff that I don't relate to because I turned the key on my, I think 2010 Volkswagen, Wolfsburg edition Volkswagen, very small, bumped my head on the roof quite a bit when I'm getting in the car. I hit my knees on the dashboard a lot. Not that I'm tall. It's just a freaking small car. So I felt pretty, I said, hey guys, check out what happens when I turn the key on this thing. And they kind of like,
so a Volkswagen.
Yeah. I heard you say Subaru.
Subaru Forester. Yeah.
Well, equally manly. I think, you know, I think we have the man card on our cars down to a science at this point.
Have you ever listened to the Paid Search podcast in your car?
No.
I have.
Wow.
Cruising That's... down the street, listening to my own podcast. Wow.
And then you left a review for yourself, right?
I wouldn't do something that embarrassing. Yes. But to everyone listening, we appreciate those reviews. On the next few episodes, we will be reading some recent reviews. And guys, that's really helped the show grow. We have some amazing plans in place for this show and maybe... maybe not this show. I don't know what to say, Chris, but I'm not going to say anything today.
Next week. Next week, guys, stay around. We got some exciting news to share next week. We will catch you next Monday on the Paid Search Podcast.